Hey, yo, listen, it's going down just like this.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Happy Saturday. It's absolutely beautiful. Thank goodness it wasn't so beautiful yesterday, I will say that. But hi, welcome to the program. My name is Tiffany Bacon. Thank you so much for stopping by. Today we are going to be talking about one of the many treasures here in the city of Philadelphia, one that you may not talk about all the time, but is still around, and you need to know that they are still around and what they have going on. We will be talking about Freedom Theater and education in the arts today. So perk up, listen up, and definitely be a part of the conversation by giving us a call, 215-263-1039. As always, we're going to start off the morning with a moment of inspiration.
Day is almost night, and I don't want to lose this fight, no. I fooled around much too long. Oh, yes, I have. Now I've been last. But you see, I don't want to ever look back. No, 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 no. Because I know that I've done wrong. Oh, Lord, if you give me the strength I need, Lord, I want to be able to succeed, and I'll heed to you every command. Oh, Lord, and to
Love it, love it, love it. Welcome to the program. This is Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. It's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday, and I thank you so much for waking up early and joining us today. We're going to have a pretty full conversation talking about one of Philadelphia's treasures. It's been around for several decades and has been a cornerstone in the North Philadelphia community, has produced some amazing talent, but perhaps you don't talk about it as often as maybe you should. So we're going to bring it to the forefront of your mind this morning because it's a treasure that would be quite a shame to lose. And that treasure is Freedom Theater, right at the corner of Broadmaster in North Philadelphia, about what, a block from Temple University proper, main campus. So here joining me at the moment, because we'll have some other people joining us shortly. Joining me at the moment is the Associate Managing Director of Performing Arts Training Program, Diane Leslie. Good morning, Diane. How are you?
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
I know it's your first time up here. For those who are not familiar with Freedom Theater or its history, just kind of give us an overview of how Freedom got started, when it got started, and what you guys have been up to lately.
Okay, well, in 1966, we will be turning 50 in 2 years.
Ooh.
Yes, in 1966, a group of African-American community organizers said, we need a way of African-Americans seeing themselves on stage, being able to express themselves. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of playwrights writing plays left and right with no place to do them. Mm-hmm. And at that time, John Allen, one of the founders, was taking classes at Hedgerow Theater for acting. He was an executive at Sun Oil Company at the time.
Wow.
Which is Sunoco.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they put together this one production and at Cheney University, and it was very successful. And John said, okay, everybody, let's go celebrate. Let's go have some dinner. And his partner in crime, my dad, Robert Leslie Sr., said, hold up, man, hold up. No, if we want to do this again, we're going to have to save some money. So John was pretty much the artistic arm, and my father became the one who handled the money.
Gotcha.
They had been friends since they were in seventh grade. They went to Shoemaker.
Wow.
They went to West Philly High. John then went to the Army, and my father, at that time, if you had children, you didn't go into the Army.
Okay.
So my father worked for the Bulletin.
Ooh, you know, y'all remember the Bulletin, don't you? If you're old enough, you remember the Bulletin newspaper.
Right.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and so they wanted this to continue.
Okay.
And the artists, these were adults at the time. We just had adults, and they wanted to continue. Mm-hmm. And so they started this program, and right then we had a connection with Temple University as well.
Mm.
So they taught within our program. Some of the theater professors did. And the adults wanted to continue, but they soon began to understand that they needed training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it had to be, they had to be able to, you know, whip it out.
Yeah.
You know, more than one performance,
yeah.
You know, so they started the training. And then my father recognized that we needed youth. You know, we needed to expand the program. This was like in 1974. Mm-hmm. We needed to expand the program. Their first piece was The Me Nobody Knows, which brought some really good youth actors into the program, singers and dancers.
Okay.
And then it started from there. And then a while after that, Patricia Scott Hobbs came in to teach movement at the theater and then wanted to have her own dance program. And so she developed that program as well. After that, you know, we had the preteen and preschool program, which I was instrumental in starting.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are now with four schools, preschool, preteen, teens, and adults.
Wow.
You know, at Freedom Theater training to be professional artists, to be wonderful human beings and citizens who are going to contribute to society, you know, and also be the voice of African-Americans, our circumstances, our relationships, our trials, our triumphs. You know, we have to see that, you know, we provide a service so that we stay human, you know, we stay human.
Amen. Amen. And listen, I want to put a call out there to my listening audience, whether you are in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Delaware. If you are a former student of Freedom Theater, you know, you can give us a call and shout out your old artistic educational facility that is Freedom. You know, feel free to give us a call. It doesn't matter how old you are, honey. You're young and spirit. So whatever days, decades, years that you were at Freedom, if you did attend or if you had children that you sent to Freedom Theater, feel free to give us a call and talk about how that meant to you, what that meant to you. So give us a call, 215-263-1039. If you are, unfortunately, like myself, not an alum of Freedom Theater, you can also call in just to talk about if you had any artistic training growing up. And was that important to you?
Mm-hmm.
How was that important to you? What did it teach you? How did it shape your life as an adult? So give us a call, 215-263-1039. So you've had quite a few people come through the program that have done some amazing things. I mean, over the course of almost 50 years, my Lord. Who are some of the people that actually came through Freedom that we may
that
know?
That people would know?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Erica Alexander.
Yes.
She used to be on the Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was on Living Single playing Max.
Yeah.
And she had some other shows within, mm-hmm. you know, that time.
Yeah.
And the last thing I saw her in was in a movie with Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. A couple years back.
Yeah.
I think it was called Deja Vu.
Deja Vu, yeah.
Yep, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so now she's producing in her own company. She has some things on the docket that she's doing. So we keep in touch, you know.
Awesome.
Probably would know Wanye Morris of Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Yeah, he was with us when he was 8 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Had that baby when he was a baby. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome sauce. Well, one of the things that you guys have coming up this coming week is you're participating in Project One Voice.
Yes.
And actually on the phone, we have the founder of Project One Voice, Eric McCall. We'd like to bring him into the conversation. Good morning, Eric. Hi.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
How are you? Thank you so much for calling in, for joining us today.
I'm good. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Awesome. So we're just telling the whole Delaware Valley here about the greatness that is Freedom Theater and how they're participating in Project One Voice. I have not told them what Project One Voice is, but I figured, hey, you're the founder. You should tell them.
First of all, I want to say how happy we are to have Pennsylvania's oldest African-American theater company on board with this.
Mm-hmm.
Project One Voice began in about 2008, right after the economic downturn. We wanted to do something to promote and strengthen African-American theaters around the entire country. So mm-hmm. we were born out of a need because we saw that so many of our African-American theater companies were closing their doors.
Yeah.
And we wanted to ensure that no more closed their doors. So we created this as a way to create awareness, to raise funds, and to create an audience base for them. So we've been doing this for 4 years. The first year we did Alice Childress's Trouble in Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Second year we did The Amen Corner. Mm-hmm. Last year we did A Soldier's Play. And this year we're really excited to do For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. It's a celebration of womanhood, of what it means to be female in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So on June 16th, the city of brotherly love will become the city of sisterly love.
Amen.
Thanks to Freedom Theater.
Amen. So now, where did you actually start this project?
You know, we're a New York-based company,
mm-hmm.
but the first year we had 18 theaters in our network. We've grown to close to 30 theaters right now.
Awesome.
But, you know, I didn't know any of these theaters. I called them all coldly, and I just wanted to help and assist.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane Leslie and Sandra Houghton picked up the phone one day. I called them. They picked up the phone. I told them who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, they trusted me, and they came aboard.
Wow.
You know, but that's how Philadelphia is. You
mm-hmm.
know, there it's a supportive community as people are so supportive of Freedom Theater over the years.
Now, tell me, Eric, and also Diane, Why are the arts so important for anyone's development? Not just a child, but say if, you know, for whatever reason in your background, you know, you didn't have the opportunity to have any dance or singing or acting lessons or music lessons or anything like that. Why is participating in the arts so important?
You know, I think for me, the arts keeps our stories alive. It keeps them vital. And it keeps keeps our history strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a tradition that of it, a legacy and a tradition that we have to keep alive.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, in a housing project.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a place where a lot of people just did not have substantial hopes and dreams. I mean, we had hopes and dreams, but it wasn't about how your life can make a difference in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But what theater did for me, it opened up a huge realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, your imagination is the key to success in your life.
Yeah.
If you can dream it, if you can think it, you can be it. So theater unlocks that for so many people, both young people and adults alike.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, and I think unlocks is a good term. I mean, my father actually had to make me go to Freedom Theater.
Really?
Yes, I was extremely
wow.
shy, and really couldn't speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw me dancing and moving around when the Ed Sullivan Show came on.
All right now.
And so he said, you're going to Freedom Theater, you know. And I think it opened so many doors for me. And I think it does that for all of us. Either as we watch it or as we do it, we say, okay, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that one day, you know. Somebody looks like me is performing, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can be in the world too, you know. And so it's a service to me.
Awesome.
It's a service.
So I know, Eric, you said you started this to bring awareness and raise funds and develop an audience base for struggling Black theaters. Why do you think they're struggling? What is up with the support of Black theaters?
You know, I think sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we think organizations are just doing okay. And that, but I think it's really important that we invest in our community, that we invest in us.
Mm-hmm.
We do spend dollars in other places, but I think we forget that it's always nice to keep that money someplace close to home.
Mm-hmm.
And Freedom Theater for me and for all of Philadelphia is home, and we want to support our home. So I think, we want to bring people back to Freedom Theater to remember its long-standing tradition of excellence in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the reason why, for the most part, I think. People just don't remember that it's important to support our organizations.
Mm-hmm. And Diane, what would you say?
They expect us to be here.
Mm-hmm.
They just simply expect us to continue. And in many cases don't realize that it takes finances, it takes volunteerism, it takes coming to see the productions and be involved in classes for us to continue. It is very challenging, you know, to hold on to, you know, Broad and Master, a 54-room mansion, you know.
And it is that.
Yeah.
A mansion. It is beautiful, the theater. If you have not been inside of Freedom Theater, the theater is absolutely beautiful.
Yes. And so we just need to remind each other, you know, because everybody's got a lot on their plate, you know. But we just need to remember that we have to support our institutions because they're a part of the holistic cycle that we want to take our children through to make them whole. And also us as adults, we need to relax. We need to laugh. We need to cry.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know that somebody understands us and our plight.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear voices that sound like ours and respect who we are and what we brought to this country and the world. And it allows for us to respect others. You know, and everybody should be doing that.
All right. And everybody should be a part of this conversation. I definitely would love to hear from anyone who ever went to Freedom Theater. And if you have not, that's fine. It's not just a call out for alumni of Freedom Theater, but if you've ever had any artistic training. As a child, did you have to play the oboe or violin? Did you go to dance class? Did you take acting lessons? Did you have to sit with Mrs. Burdock and play the piano for 8 hours a week?
Uh-oh.
What was it that you participated in artistically, and how did it shape you as a person? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Aaron, we thank you so much for coming up with Project One Voice.
He has been a stalwart leader, let me tell you. He is on the job.
This has been a labor of love. I mean, and this year, because we're doing For Colored Girls, it's an event that's about the empowerment of women and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in light of what's happening in the news these days,
yes, Lord,
it's important that we remember how essential women and girls are to the fabric of this entire globe. And that's what we're
absolutely
celebrating.
Absolutely. And before, because I know you have a lot going on, Eric, before I let you go, I want to have both of your responses to the legends we recently lost, Maya and also Ruby Dee that we lost the other day.
You know, I think they're both tragic losses, and they were the heartbeat of America in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're so fortunate at this point in time. We're going to have Ntozake Shange at our reading in New York City.
Wonderful.
But we're I've said this to so many people. I think that I'm so sick and tired, as Fannie Lou Hamer would say, of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
But we've lost so many great people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so tired of saying how much I loved and adored their work over at a funeral.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
for me, I'm so glad that we have an opportunity now to tell Ntozake Shange how much her poetry, how much her words have moved us, how much they've helped us to move forward. Ruby Dee and Maya Angelou did the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we celebrated and we praised them on their deaths. But I think that we should praise these people when they're alive. So
yes,
I think we're very fortunate to be able to do this too with Ntozake.
Awesome.
Yes. And now it is our duty to keep these women alive through our children, to make sure that their literature and their work on film and in theaters stays alive with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these women have just been so impactful in my life,
mm-hmm,
in just reading what Dr. Maya wrote and understanding her and seeing myself,
yeah,
in some of the things that she said. And I think it's important that I pass that on. Our teens right now are working with Still I Rise, and so much of her work we need to continue to keep alive, as we do with Project One Voice and the different plays that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And also Ruby Dee's work. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, it was important for me to see her in the movie A Raisin in the Sun, so that I could understand the stories of our people, you know, and of women, you know, how strong we are, how creative we are, how community, I don't know, enveloping we are. And we've got to pass that on. Our kids need to have a foundation in what has been contributed before them, so they understand what they can also give to being a member of the community in Philadelphia and the world.
Amazing. We are taking some calls. We're looking for people who are alumni of Freedom Theater to call in and talk about their experience. Also, anyone, even if you didn't go to Freedom, we would like to speak to anyone who had artistic training at some point in their lives, at whether it's a child, young adult, or fully grown person. Give us a call and talk about how that artistic training shaped your life, whether it was you play an instrument, you took dance, drama, art, whatever it is or was. So give us a call, 215-263-1039. We have some other guests that are calling in. Eric, I want to say thank you so much for calling and telling us more about Project One Voice.
Yeah, thank you so much. And make sure you come to Freedom Theater on June 16th. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you, Eric.
Awesome sauce. All right, we want you to stay right there, guys. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Praise in the City after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. We're in the second half of today's edition of Praise in the City. We are talking about one of Philadelphia's treasures, Freedom Theater, this morning. I'm also opening up the conversation to you, my wonderful listening audience, because I always say this, the show is nothing without you, for real. So I want you to be a part of today's discussion. And if you are an alum of Freedom Theater, we invite you to call in and just give a shout out to your experience there. How did it shape you as a person? If you're not an alum of Freedom Theater, just still give us a call and talk about whatever artistic training you had and how that shaped you as a person, whether you took music lessons, dance lessons, drama, painting, any of the visual arts. How did that shape you as a person? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Lizette from South Jersey wanted to say a public thank you to Freedom Theater. She is an alum, and she is showing her support. So just wanted to let you know that, Miss Diane.
Thank you,
Lizette, for calling in. Let's go to Kiambi, calling out of Mount Airy. Kiambi, good morning. You're live on the air.
How are you doing? I actually, I never attended Freedom Theater, but I had an extra neighbor who was attending Freedom Theater, and we used to go to her concerts a lot. So I definitely appreciate what Freedom Theater, does. I'm definitely familiar with that. But I personally was classically trained, had private lessons since I was five. My first piano teacher was actually blind, but so it taught me how to play by ear, but I had the love of, playing, the piano to my sister.
Yes.
She actually had piano lessons, but she had piano lessons first.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to listen to her practice and then play her songs after she was done practicing. And then my parents wondered, who was that down there playing? My sister? But it was me. So that's when I actually started, the love of playing the piano. And, and it just gave me a sense of accomplishment when I started to learn classical songs like Beethoven, Bach. I'm only like five and six, and my teacher, who's passed away, people may have know him, Dr. Cooper. He passed away, but he taught me, discipline and accomplishment, and it just resonated in other areas of my life.
Wonderful.
As far as knowing that I could take something that I knew nothing about and accomplishments, and know that anything that's difficult in other areas, I can accomplish it, being as though I could, accomplish reading music, and that's a difficult thing. So
amazing.
Art, dance, and playing the instrument is definitely something that's, necessary for, success in other areas.
I so agree with
me
you.
Too.
That's why you often will hear me bring artistic things on the show, because I am a big arts supporter. I would not be anything that I am other than alive, because the arts didn't make me alive. My mama and the Lord did, but my daddy, happy Father's Day, Dad. But I would not have had any of the success that I've had were it not for the arts, because my discipline, my open-mindedness came from those sectors, and also my ability to create and allow myself to be creative and keep that inner child alive. Because I think, you get too deep into life and that child dies, and you just become this crotchety old person. I'm not going to speak for everybody. I'm just talking about what I don't want.
Right.
But thank you so much. I appreciate your call, and thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Sharing your experience.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a couple of other calls, and we have some guests joining us on the phone. Let's go first to Abraham, calling out of Bristol, PA. Abraham, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank
Fantastic.
You for the show. Actually, I have a little contribution and a question. I have been wanting to do this for a very long time. I try to be an artist. I can sing and everything. I relocated to the United States and started having kids over here. And I noticed that the opportunities that I never had, I want my kids to have it, and they already have those. But I don't know where, I never knew where to send my daughter for help. I bought her a piano. I don't know how to play it. She and I always go online to get on YouTube and try. Mm-hmm. I'm still not going nowhere, and she's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
She sings, she dances, she even do plays, mm-hmm. And she's just five.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so do you have a question for Miss Diane? Or
yes, Miss Diane, I have a question for you. How can I enroll my child into the Freedom Theater, and what's the age range?
We start at three, and we have sample classes. So it allows for the child and the parent to come to Freedom Theater and take a sample of class, that some movement, some acting, some dance, some vocal arts. And it allows you to see, you know, our rapport with kids, some of the things that they'll do in class, and also see the response of your child. And a lot of times there's a lot of laughter, there's a lot of fierceness, and there's a lot of getting engaged with others. I just had a sample class yesterday with 6 to 8 year olds. We're going to have an African Folktales summer program for them starting on July 7th. And they just had a ball. They just had a ball. It's so wonderful seeing them do African dance.
Wonderful.
You know, because these things have to continue, you know.
Amen.
And we'll do an African folktale, and they'll sing and stuff.
All right. So what we want to encourage, Abraham, because we are going to have to move on to the next call. So if there is
phone number, 267-687-1764.
And we'll put that information on our website as well.
Thank you so much.
All right,
thank
Abraham,
you.
Thank you so much for the phone call.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You do the same. For the other people who are online, we're going to get on the line, I should say. We're going to get to your call in just a few moments. I want to introduce one of our guests who's been waiting patiently on the line. He is the president of the Artistic Committee. Mr. Johnny Hobbs is joining us. Good morning, Johnny. How
Good morning,
are you?
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you and all of your audience?
All right. I'm going to speak for everybody right now because they can't all say it at one time. well, not that you can hear them.
Right.
Thank you so much for calling in and just talk about the importance of what Freedom Theater means to not just the North Philadelphia community, but to Philadelphia proper.
Oh, God. I mean, it's the Freedom Theater is, you know, we've always looked at the Freedom Theater as more than just a theater, but an institution,
mm-hmm.
not just an institution in the local community, but an institution in the world community. And the Freedom Theater has been quite impactful to me. I mean, I've been involved with the Freedom Theater since 1971 or something like that when I came out of the military, and thinking that I was going to be the next Sidney Poitier, and inspired by him, and you know, trying to find a place to sort of release all of this energy, and I found that Freedom Theater, meeting John Allen and Bob Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been the emotional involvement that we have with the Freedom Theater over the years has just grown, grown and grown. So the Freedom Theater is impactful to the city and the country at large.
All right. So as your job as the Artistic Committee, what exactly do you do?
Well, we you know, as that body, we're just concerned with the artistic integrity and the things that the theater does, and making sure that there's a message there, and that we're trying to bring the community into the theater. The theater is not closed. The theater is open, has been open since 1971, from my perspective, in 1966 when it was founded. And we're just making sure, you know, that we're alive and vibrant, and that the things that we do are, you know, delivering a positive message or a message that we need to hear, and trying to create some a real nexus between the community and the theater itself.
And what do you think it's going to take for there to be wide support, not just from the African-American community, but Philadelphia in general,
right.
Not just Freedom Theater, but other theaters that are, you know, that are struggling.
Right, right. Well, I mean, we realize that there is a struggle. There's always been a struggle with these kinds of institutions, not just Freedom Theater, but many other institutions across the country. It takes a great deal of contribution. I mean, professional contributions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, monies have to be available, and we have to hopefully have people who are able to sort of go get those monies, and we have to have a political system that's sensitive to the needs of the arts, mm-hmm. sensitive to the needs of the arts, and understanding that the arts in communities and with young people in particular, it develops leadership. These are leaders that are developing in these places, like the theater and all these places across the country. And if we don't have these places, then we pretty much suffer in terms of developing ourselves as a people, politically, economically, culturally, and it keeps the culture alive. And it teaches kids the importance of empathy and learning how other people feel and being sensitive to others. And sometimes that's missing. That should be the hue and cry in the public school system. Mm. But unfortunately, the monies are not there to continue those kinds of arts education programs.
Yeah.
So it's vital.
Yeah. In terms of art production and art consumption of the cities in the United States, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is Philadelphia?
I think Philadelphia is pretty high. I mean, this is a strong arts town. I mean, it's got to be somewhere. We've got to be somewhere between 7 and 10, I'm sure, only because there's a strong thirst for the arts. Not only is this a sports city, but it's a strong arts city with the Avenue of the Arts and hopefully building down into that corridor that includes Freedom Theater and other arts institutions. This is a pretty strong culturally arts town. I mean, it's just as strong as a place like Minnesota or Chicago, and obviously New York. Philadelphia stands, at the vanguard of developing arts institutions and continuing to develop new arts associations.
Awesomeness. And Ms. Diane just told me that you were the first director of Project One Voice.
How about that? This was 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was, and I directed Trouble in Mind by Alice Childress, played that, a wonderful black female playwright, the play that was done on Broadway in 1955. And I was able to sort of do that first reading and very happy about that. And Project One Voice, has the possibilities of standing to be like a movement in this country in terms
Amazing.
Of just bringing, that critical eye to institutions across the country that are doing the kind of work that we're doing. So I was very happy to be involved with being the first director to direct that.
Fantastic. Johnny, I appreciate you. Like I said to you off air, you mean a lot to the actors in Philadelphia who have encountered you or studied with you. And
right.
I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of all of them and myself. And thank you so much for calling into the program today.
Well, thank you so much, Tiffany. And I'll see you Monday night and see all the Philadelphia Monday night looking at you read the wonderful Color Girls.
Awesome sauce. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Before we get to our next guest, I want to take a call from Leon. Leon is actually calling in from South Philadelphia. Good morning, Leon. You're live on the air. Oh, Leon, we missed him. Oh, I'm sorry. Leon, if you can call back before we go off the air. Sorry, I had to take our guest call. Also, we have... Yeah, I think, is this? No, not Leanne. Okay, so we'll go back to our guest. We have Sandra Houghton calling in, who is the executive director of Freedom Theater. She's on the line. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How is everyone this morning?
Breathing great. On schedule.
Great.
All right, so also going to get your perspective on this event that Freedom Theater is participating in. What do you hope to accomplish with Project One Voice?
What I really would like to see is for, first of all, for everyone to come out and see the reading. We have some fantastic artists reading for us.
Mm-hmm.
But moreover, we're really interested in letting people know that freedom is here, that we're vital, we're alive, that we're still helping hundreds of young people every year.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many artists every year come and use our facility, and we train them. And, Project One Voice is a way for all of the African-American theaters to come together at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it also really shows how the high regard that the national theatrical community has for Freedom Theater
mm-hmm.
and the work that we do. And
mm-hmm.
I think maybe we don't toot our own horn loud enough sometimes
mm-hmm.
in the city because
mm-hmm.
we're so busy just, doing the work and keeping on. But
yeah.
we would really like people to understand that you have a national gym here in Freedom Theater, and we have a responsibility to keep it alive and thriving for the next generation. So that's what my focus always is, and that's why I was really excited to do Project One Voice with, you know, Eric McCall.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, if you've ever been inside of Freedom Theater, there's some wonderful pictures of past productions, and it just kind of gives you that feeling of, oh my goodness, there was like electricity in the air between these walls and on these stages. How can you keep that electricity, that fast pumping blood running through the veins of the youth?
What we try to do is instill in the community the desire to participate. Mm-hmm. They can donate, they can come bring their young people, they can come see productions. They can even come today to our flea market that we're having to raise money. And the other thing I always like to share is when people from our community step up to support Freedom Theater and show how important we are. Mm-hmm. And I really want to give a shout out to the Delaware Valley Links Incorporated, who just gave us a wonderful donation. Mm-hmm. Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church and the Estate of Mary Upshaw. And I have a long list. I know I'm going to forget someone. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to let young people know that the adults in our community do support Freedom Theater, and that's where that electricity comes, and we can open the doors, and we can let people in, and they can come and see us, and they can feel that spirit of John Allen and Bob Leslie. I mean, they left us an incredible legacy, and it is our responsibility to pass it on to the next generation. So that's what's exciting. That's awesome. What gets us up every morning, you know, and to see our young people progress. I mean, we have so many young people who graduated from Freedom, who are in college, who graduated from college, and now they're all over the world.
Wonderful.
So we want to bring them back. We say, come home to Freedom. We're a artist, and we're getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary. Right. I know Diane must have already.
She sure did. Proudly.
Yeah, we're not. We haven't been here 50 years.
That's
but
okay.
Freedom's been here 50 years.
Amen.
We're going to be here 50 more years.
Amen.
So we're excited. And I think the young people catch that excitement and the dedication of my staff, you know, and it's just exciting when you really think about the vibrancy, when you talk about the feeling. I call it a spiritual connection. I really do. Yeah.
Wonderful. And before we are literally getting down to the wire, the show is almost over. I want to bring in our final guest, which is Patricia Scott Hobbs. She is the director of training. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for calling in. In terms of training, what does that mean? You're the director of training. Give me what that means.
I think that, number one, that we really take the arts for granted. I did an informal study where I looked at commercials on television. Mm-hmm. And as I began to count the actors, count the vocal artists, count the music that was composed, there were a lot of employed people. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very, very important that places like Freedom Theater are teaching the arts, because we know that the arts are being taken out of the schools.
Yeah.
But we are preparing young people for employment. If you just look at the commercial cycle, there were 19 actors that were employed. There were vocal artists that were employed. There were musicians employed. Mm-hmm. Not to mention people who were directing, choreographing, doing vocal direction or editing or anything like that.
Right.
So I think that we kind of missed the boat a little bit in reference to preparing our young people in reference to job training, and Freedom Theater has done that over the years. Over 85% of our alumni do some form of teaching, which is a benefit that we weren't really aware of until we really looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think that Freedom Theater is a place to connect young people to the people that came before them. So, as you know, we are losing some of our iconic voices in the arts and in our community, Maya Angelou and Ruby Dee.
Right.
And here's an opportunity to honor a person while they're living. Just imagine how less full the modern spoken word movement would have been without Entezaki Shange. Okay, and so here's an opportunity not only for us to honor her, but also to bring our young people to introduce them to these types of voices and let them know that the voices that they have today is because of the voices of some people that came before them. I think that's very important.
All right. Final question, because I just was given the 2 minute sign, so okay. I got to start to wrap this up. Why, if you can count all the people who have jobs on commercials, and we know that commercials are lucrative because people pay a pretty penny for them, why do the arts still have a bad taste in a parent's mouth when a child says, "Mom, I want to be an actor, a dancer, an artist, a musician"?
Sometimes I think it really is PR. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, what happens is we focus on the person who, they didn't have any training and they were discovered. And a lot of times, you know, like that's been said about, let's say, Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at Denzel Washington's history, he wasn't just discovered. Mm-hmm. He was discovered over a long period of time and a long period of training.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we don't focus our stories on the training that an artist has to have.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on their personal lives. We focus on the drama that's being created,
mm-hmm.
but we don't really focus on their training. And sometimes while I'm watching television, I literally will look a person up,
mm-hmm.
and I will find out that they've had training in college for
mm-hmm.
the arts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find out that they studied with this premier acting instructor in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But those are types of things that are they're not well known.
Yeah.
And I think
that
we have to begin to understand that anything that you do in life well takes training.
And real quick,
and that's one of the main reasons we fight so hard to keep Freedom Theater open, because there have to be institutions that are alive to do this training.
Absolutely. And Sandra, unfortunately, I have to cut you there because I'm getting the wrap it up sign. I have to go. Project One Voice on
Monday, mm-hmm. June 16th at 8 p.m.
All right, ladies, and of
thank
course,
you.
the gentleman that called in. Thank you guys so much for being part of the program. Long live the arts, not just in Philadelphia, but all around the country, but especially here in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Thank you guys so much for calling
in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, much love going out to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Stick around. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.